knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Why don't you go first?
Well, my bright spot comes from the files of listening to music that I've not listened to for a while.
From the files?
From the files. Okay. From deep within the
archive.
We
were talking about this a little bit yesterday.
Yeah. So there is an artist now that goes by, I don't know how to pronounce the name. I've never heard it pronounced out loud. It's A-N-O-H-N-I. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call them Anoni.
Okay.
I don't know what their pronouns are.
Sure.
In 2005, the artist released an album, and there's a song on it called "For Today I Am a Boy," mm-hmm. and the vibrato of the voice is so perfect and so beautiful and so incredible, and it tells a very moving story of a child dealing with their gender identity,
mm-hmm.
and then I realized that this is a song that I listened to and that I identified with. At a young age, I hadn't considered really what it was that I was identifying with at the time. It didn't even occur to me that, like, this was an unusual thing to be moved by a story about a young boy who wants to become a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Never even occurred to me that that would be strange.
Hmm.
And now looking back on that and seeing, like, the evolution that I've had towards that, I realized that I have a debt to this person that I wanted to publicly share.
Sure. That artistic impact
absolutely
deepened your connection to people and to humanity.
Totally. And that is, that's the type of thing that I don't necessarily think is like something to put on somebody. But if they feel like a moment of like, hey, how about that? That square white dude is a little bit better. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Good for them.
That's a very nice sentiment.
Yeah. I want to share that.
So I'll keep going with you.
Ooh, I like that.
Revisiting music we haven't
heard.
Let's do it. I'll go a little bit different
mm-hmm.
for my bright spot. Mm-hmm. And not as maybe moving or meaningful.
Sure.
But I was on the bike the other day.
Uh-huh.
Actually, yesterday.
Yeah.
And I listened to The Children of Sanchez by Chuck Mangione.
Slightly different, yes.
And that, like, when the... When the horns kick in, it's one of the most triumphant moments ever. But it's 15 minutes long.
Yeah. There is that.
And one of the things that I never really realized when I listened to it in the past is that it's structurally amazing.
Sure.
Because the beginning of the song is like a vocalized, I will always hear the children of Sanchez.
And then
the second time they bring it back.
Yeah.
Chuck Mangione's talking with his horn.
He's doing
the lyrics
with
his horn.
Yeah.
I never realized that. Hit me hard.
I'm gonna let everybody in this world in on a secret, all right? If you're listening to a song by some artist that is not normally known for, like, 15-minute songs, here's what they're doing. They're going, you know what? I fucking learned about composition, right, everybody? I don't write your dumb songs. That's it. I'm going to show you. You know what? I'll show you.
I'll get
Here's
fancy.
A symphony, right? And then you go 20 years later.
And if you're listening to a song by someone who primarily doesn't use words.
Yeah.
They think they're using words with their horn.
Oh, no, they are. See, now, have you ever heard the magic flute, my friend?
Sure, but, like, you know, I listen to ska. And like,
have you ever heard the magic trombone, my friend?
Real Big Fish isn't, like, pretending the horns are words.
Sure.
Instruments.
Sure.
Whereas with that Chuck Mangione song, for sure, the trumpet's supposed to be, the flugelhorn is supposed to be singing.
No, it's quite nice, yes. It's beautiful. Yeah.
So, Jordan, today we got an episode to go over.
Sure.
It's we're recording in the evening.
Yes.
It's a late record, mm-hmm. and that is because the weekends just keep happening to us.
Yeah.
Time will not slow down.
Nah, it seems like it's fine.
Will not give us a reprieve at all. No. Last weekend, Trump gets shot.
Was that last weekend?
That was last weekend.
No, it wasn't. That was 7.5 years ago.
That was a week ago.
No. That was 7.5 years ago. Now, since that
it's
was...
Even, it's not even 7.5 days ago.
No. So
point.
that was a world-shattering event. I'm glad that we've all had some time to, like, process it. So nothing has happened. So
RNC.
You know, yeah. That was a mess. You texted me earlier that something happened, but beyond that, I have not checked the news.
Yeah. So days worth of the RNC happened.
Yeah.
And I made a point of watching as much of that as I could for reasons that are still unclear to me exactly. Weird curiosity. And then today, Sunday, as we're recording this, we'd had an episode that we were going to record earlier in the day.
Sure.
And Biden goes and drops out of the race.
Okay, so...
The 2024 race.
Okay,
and
so we
have to obviously cover what Alex's response to that is.
Well, naturally. So Biden did drop out.
He did.
This isn't like a reported thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Well, I mean, it's reported by him.
Okay, but he's not. Yeah. He's still the president now.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
He bowed out of the 2024 election, and it is presumptive that Kamala Harris... is taking the place on the ticket.
Sure.
So as of the time that we're recording this, there's obviously not a lot of clarity, you know, not a whole lot of certainty in terms of what is going to happen.
Sure.
But Biden has put out his own statement that he is not going to reseek the office.
Cool.
So obviously that throws a bit of a curveball. And whereas, you know, maybe we would be talking about Friday's episode and a bunch of that nonsense, now it becomes like, well, Alex has his show on Sunday. After the news breaks, we got
to
see
what else
does.
What else is there to do?
Exactly. So, obviously, Biden has dropped out of the race.
Yes.
So we'll be talking about Alex's response to that on his Sunday show. But also, we're going to talk a little bit about Friday the 19th.
Right.
The day after Trump gave his speech at the convention.
Right.
Alex is back from his vacation in sunny California.
Huge news. Massive stuff all around. God King on the one day. Then goodbye King on the next day. Hey, that's not bad.
I will also say in advance that I forgot to cut clips of Alex talking about how he stared at a hummingbird.
God damn, that actually, I think we could all use a little staring at a hummingbird right now as a society.
Yeah. It's such a marvel of nature.
I mean, sometimes it looks like they're hovering.
Yeah, it's crazy. So we'll get down to business on this, but first, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, listening to the podcast while working on a lathe might be dangerous. The cows with human beasts almost got me sucked in from confusion and laughter. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, I would like to wish my wolves do not live in Chicago hubby a happy birthday on August 22nd. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Alex Jones as the Batman villain would be like to the tune of the theme song, Riddler, Riddler, Riddler. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Next, there are four ways to burn to the fucking ground, Eddie. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. I like that one. That's a good combination of everything we've ever created in this world, right?
Yeah. And it makes so little sense that it's just like, yep.
There's only a group of people on this planet that understands that, and God bless them, that like they're all us. Yeah.
Your brain has broken if you say it to anybody else.
Yep.
And Serena, the trans socialist, the right fears. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, so we're going to start, and this is Alex just got back to studio.
From California.
Where he, is, in theory, was interviewing some guys
broke
into Bohemian Grove. But he was on vacation.
True.
I want to apologize. I think I made jokes that he was staying at a nice resort, and I think it was a nice Airbnb.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
fine.
Still
a nice place.
I'm just really glad that everything's going great with the bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm. It was a pretty nice looking place though.
Yep.
So Alex is responding to the RNC.
Yes.
This is wild.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a new listener, want to welcome you to the transmission. If you're a new viewer, want to welcome you all to the transmission. We're in very, very dangerous times. Most people I know are celebrating that Trump survived, and so am I. And there was just a sense of euphoria at the RNC. And it was the most powerful RNC, DNC. I mean, it was night and day. It was like it was like a rock concert. It rolled into the Olympics, rolled into a comedy show, rolled into you name it. You've got all the
sounds confusing,
and just and Trump was just incredible for speaking for 2.5 hours last night. It was amazing.
Yeah, he just spoke for 2.5 hours.
He did not.
He didn't.
Okay.
He actually didn't. Alex is wrong.
Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah. I'm
he
excited.
Spoke for fucking ever, but okay. It was not 2.5 hours.
Okay.
And it was unbearably meandering. It just went on and on and on.
Sure.
I had been messaging with you because I was sort of live tweeting the RNC to your phone.
Yeah. That was very similar to what was occurring.
And so, like, I had made some jokes about previous days.
Sure.
And on that day, I straight up stopped watching about an hour into Trump's speech. Like, I legitimately checked out.
Okay, so you don't know how long the speech is experientially.
I've seen a runtime of about an hour and a half.
So you know intellectually how long it is.
Yeah.
But experientially, it was longer than you could handle.
It did feel like 2.5 hours. So from Alex's standpoint...
He's speaking something of the truth.
Yeah.
Inside. Yeah.
It was a mess.
It was a mess?
Yeah.
That sounds like it went great.
The experience of watching it was, I brought it up on our last episode.
Yeah.
That I had watched some of it.
Yeah.
But watching the Thursday was like, oh, this is where, like, we're swinging. Like, you got Hulk Hogan coming out.
Sure.
You got Kid Rock. You got Dana White. You got the stars were out.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I honestly felt like... I did not have Alex there at this point.
That's right. You did. We were on the same stupid TV show as Dana White, and then Dana White was showing up on the fucking RNC.
Not only that.
What a dumb world.
Not only that.
Yeah.
So we were on the same episode
of
the CNN.
We didn't, like, meet him or anything. He did, like, a remote
pre-tape.
Something stupid like that. But, yeah, it's ironic that we were just, like, scene to scene.
But not only were we on the same thing, and then he's at the RNC.
Yeah.
He... specifically introduced Trump.
No.
Like, he was the speaker right before Trump and brought him to stage.
Oh, my God. What is the point
of any
of this?
Yeah, so he was like the person of honor, if you will.
What is the point of any of this?
Yeah, it's...
Fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
First thing I thought when I saw Hulk Hogan come out was like, ooh, lost the wrestling vote.
Oh, because people who like... Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. But he did gain the people who like saying the N-word and not receiving consequence for it.
True.
Vote. Yeah.
True.
That one is a good one.
And people who are still excited by someone tearing off their shirt.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot more people than anybody wants to
admit. Hey, brother, what are you going to do when all the Trumpomaniacs run wild on you, brother?
Did he say Trumpomania?
He definitely did.
No.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going home then. I think that's the end of my time in America.
Yeah. So the reason, we're jumping into the Friday is because it's the day after Trump has given his speech.
Right.
And then also because on Friday, something happened.
Uh-huh.
And that was that all the computers in the world...
That's right. Everything broke for a day.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
But see, what I do is I sit back and study the enemy. And you notice I don't go to Mar-a-Lago and wear tuxedos. I don't, hang around and drive around in Ferraris. And I'm not against people that do that. It's fun to enjoy yourself. It's fun to have fun. You should. I just can't help it. I war game enemy operations. And I've said about 200 times since Saturday that they would probably launch a major cyber attack and take down large parts of the infrastructure in the next week or so, if they're going to go for broke. And then I told you what comes after that. And they're getting ready to blame the Russians, guaranteed. Here it is. Biggest outage in history. Microsoft crash wreaks havoc. World plunged into darkness. Now, Bill Gates and his evil company.
Sure.
Created the virus and released it, and then
wait, does he
used
still
the psychological warfare to lock the world down and kill? They now admit it's got over 100 million people starved to death as a result of that 4 years ago. He's also buying up the farmland. The globalists are doing all of that. They are shutting off the fertilizer. So again, when I just you know, tell you some data point, there's like 5,000 points behind it that's impossible to articulate all here. Okay, it's just a full spectrum understanding.
It can't be denied that Alex has been saying that the globalists were going to do a cyber attack on the United States or possibly the whole world.
Sure.
It would be unfair to say that he's only recently been predicting that. It's been something he's yelled about being right around the corner for a very long time, but it is in his catalog.
Right.
So naturally, this week, when cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike went down, this was all the evidence Alex needed to claim that his prediction had come true, and he was once again shown to be a prophet. The problem is that this was a cyber issue, but there's no evidence that it was a cyber attack. As of right now, the information available is that it was a faulty update that was rolled out, and it made operating systems crash, which obviously had and has continued to have a great impact. But it's not based in reality to call this a cyber attack. It has the appearance of what Alex wants to pretend to be right about, so he's decided to just fudge that detail in order to make things easier for himself. A further problem for Alex is that his prediction wasn't just that there was going to be a cyber attack. He was clear that there would be a cyber attack that was either blamed on Russia or blamed on the right wing, who would be found to be working with Russia in order to justify expanded war in Ukraine. As of right now, there's no one blaming Russia. It was a tech issue with a software update for a company that has a pseudo-monopoly that needs to be examined and possibly regulated by the government, which Alex would be opposed to. In order for Alex to make any of his conspiracies and predictions appear to be validated, he needs to assert with no evidence that this was a cyber attack, and then insist that eventually someone is going to blame Russia. This is a desperate attempt to make the real world fit his storylines, and a good indication for how he's pivoting this is the way he's complaining about Bill Gates. Like, he needs to do that. He needs to make this somehow touch his real world narratives.
Right.
CrowdStrike provides a product called the Falcon Sensor, which is a computer security application. It was an update to Falcon, which is used by many Windows computers that cause the computers to get stuck in that blue crash screen. Windows is owned by Microsoft, which was founded by Bill Gates, who left their board of directors in 2020. But Bill Gates is a really popular villain with Alex's audience, so connecting him here is a little shortcut Alex can take to distract people from how thin this bullshit is. And that's the game he's playing.
Right. Okay, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
All right, so if I'm driving a car,
mm-hmm.
and then I smash into a business, right, and I cost that business all kinds of money, I would be in trouble, right?
I guess it depends on the circumstances, but generally, yeah.
Sure. I think blaming Bill Gates is a great way for anybody involved in driving that car and blowing up that business to get in trouble. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's totally Bill Gates' fault. 100% how evil. It's a corporation and a conspiracy and all of those things. It's definitely not some asshole drove a car into a brick building and now we all have to pay for it.
It's definitely a good way to never address the actual problem.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, that sucks.
So you got this quote-unquote cyber attack that people are eventually going to blame on Russia.
Yeah.
And then you also have the Trump assassination attempt, which Alex is also claiming is geopolitical.
Okay.
And I told you on Sunday and Monday they're going to blame Iran for the attack on Trump, and they even tried that the next day. I have the enemy operation right here in my brain. And I know their pre-programming, I know how they operate, I know their past plans, I understand what they do. Government's holding emergency meeting after Microsoft outage sparks global chaos, the planes, trains grounded, GPS in mayhem, shops closed, football tickets canceled, and TV channels offline. It's just going to get worse. Their next move's a tactical nuke. We'll be right
what?
Back.
Oh, wow.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That is escalation on a fast scale. Maybe too fast.
And just the smoke bomb. I'm out of here.
That was fast. Yeah,
the
yeah.
The next move is a tactical move.
Yeah. Boom!
We'll be right back.
Oh, man.
So there was an unidentified source who said that there was intelligence passed along that Iran was planning an assassination of Trump. This news broke after the shooting at Trump's Pennsylvania rally, so naturally the question came up, is it possible that this shooter was connected to this alleged Iranian plot? As of now, there's no evidence of any connection, and whatever alleged plot this source was referring to could be any number of plans at any stage of development or anything. It's very unclear, unspecific.
Sure.
The media was never trying to blame Iran for the assassination attempt, but that works better for Alex's purposes, and he knows that no one listening to him actually reads news articles, so it doesn't matter.
Here's my question for you. Mm-hmm. All right. At any given point in time, what government could you confidently say they're like secret agents, people or whatever, are not capable of coming up with a plan to assassinate anybody? Mm-hmm. Right. Like, isn't that what they all do? So at any point in time, if a journalist was like, oh, Iranian secret spy agency coming up with plot to assassinate, like, yeah, but they have a plot to assassinate everybody. That's their whole gig. They've got like a fucking file cabinet full of like, oh, Irish president. Why? Because you got to have one.
Yeah.
Any circumstance could arise.
I would assume, you know, hey, look, I don't want to say that's good. And I don't want to say that.
All I'm saying is there is 100% chance right now that the CIA has a plan to assassinate everybody you know.
Right.
But, so well, there's no surprise.
Possible. Yeah. But it should also, you know, probably they have plans on how to make every sandwich possible. You know, like,
see, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying that it's a reporting like Iran has a plot to blanket. That's enough. That's saying zero.
Right.
You can say nothing and say the exact same amount.
Yeah. You learn very little about it. But because it's on the heels of an attempted assassination,
right,
obviously things become conflated.
Right. Right. So because somebody tried to assassinate Trump, a regular news outlet is going to publish bullshit.
So Alex talks about how amazing Hulk Hogan is. Because he body slammed Andre the Giant.
By the way, Hulk Hogan's an amazing athlete. Andre the Giant weighed 550 pounds. And not once but twice, Hulk Hogan has picked him up. Because, guys, I'm pretty strong. I used to be strong. But, I mean, like a 100-pound pig that I've shot. I've shot like 300 pound ones that I try to pick up and put in the back of a truck because it's dead weight. You got to grab it, it's swinging around. You got to sling it. And it's hard to pick up a, 150, 200 pound pig. Picking up a 550 pound man, it's amazing.
Oh, I've got bad news.
It shows
buddy.
The power of humanity.
I've also got such bad news.
Broke when he did it. He's talked about that.
I'm serious.
But
I've got bad
news. He had
the
will to do it. That's a real Viking right there.
Wow.
But
how old are you?
The issue here is, that's great. That gets people that aren't really politically awake to finally think it's cool to support Trump and vote for him. People like Hulk Hogan will get Trump elected. So what he did is important. It's beautiful. That said, somebody's got to come out here and tell you the really nasty stuff that's going on. Because if we don't do that, people are going to be caught flat-footed and not know that this world record cyber attack, they're calling it an outage, is obviously staged.
Yeah, so unlike Hulk Hogan's body slam of Andre the Giant, the cyber attack was totally staged.
Yeah. I remember my Keats, you know, beauty is Trumpomania and Trumpomania is beauty. Yeah. It was what it was called.
I think that, obviously, I'm not taking away from wrestlers' abilities.
Sure.
And how it is remarkable.
No, he could carry him, yeah.
But also there's cooperation and, there are other people who body slammed Andre the Giant. That's something that is part of Hulk's lore. That is self-serving bullshit.
Right.
Is Hulk stuff. That's Hulk stuff.
I mean, here's the thing about Andre the Giant is if you wanted to body slam Andre the Giant and he did not want you to body slam him,
I don't think
he was a giant.
Yeah.
That's why they called him the Giant.
Yeah. Yeah. He would have to cooperate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, why stop here? Why not just be like, you know what? No Holds Barred was a great movie.
I mean, if you're like, here's what we're going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. I think the guy from the 70s who wrestled and shouted America stuff, a jingoistic shit in the past.
Yeah.
I think he
take
should,
your vitamins,
he
say your prayers.
He should bring his fans to my team, mm-hmm. and I'm stoked about that.
Well, I don't know what fans Hogan has left. Like, because he made
question.
his career in the wrestling industry, and most people who like wrestling fucking hate him.
Yeah.
Because
he,
for one thing, overstayed his welcome.
Sure.
Really was not the best for up-and-coming talent. Mm. They fucking hated him. He also turns out to be a racist.
Andre the Giant hated him, personally. Yeah.
A lot of folks don't like him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I don't know what you gain from bringing in the hoaxster. Although it is a great opportunity to bring up that he put out an album, and it's there's some hits on there.
What was the movie where he was a space? He was a warrior from space. Or whatever. He was like a Terminator-style thing, and then came to Earth, and then had to babysit.
No, no, no. You're conflating movies. What? That's Mr. Nanny okay. is what you're thinking of.
All right.
But he's not a Terminator.
All right. So he's not just a Terminator a wrestler. Mr. Nanny. What was the movie where he was a Terminator? I remember one where they put him in, like, space-age armor. I remember because I saw it when I was a child, and I remember thinking, even at, like, 8, guys, you can afford better than this.
Do we know if that was a Hulk Hogan movie or a Terry Bollea movie? Do you know for sure?
It took me 1.5 seconds to remember that that is his human name.
Yeah.
I think it was a Hulk Hogan movie.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at his filmography here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Thunder in Paradise. That probably wasn't it.
Not it.
Suburban Commando.
Suburban Commando.
That was probably.
Did he become a nanny in Suburban Commando also?
No. It was followed by Mr. Nanny, though. But I don't think he's from space. You know, in the film, an extraterrestrial warrior botches part of his mission.
Yeah!
He's subsequently instructed to take a vacation and causes damages to his own control systems. He crash lands on Earth and finds himself stranded. Okay, so yeah, that was
Alien Yes, one. I nailed it. Yeah. I remember that VHS.
You just mixed the two up,
Mr.
Nanny.
That sounds right.
Anyway, Hulk Hogan sucks.
Fish out of water, that guy.
So Alex talks a little bit about how when he speaks... You should actually think of it as God talking
to you. I'm sorry, I would hope you don't think that.
No, he does think that.
Oh, that's not good.
And God literally waking me up in the middle of the night.
It's 2:30, buddy.
Listen to me. It's going down right now. I've said this probably 20 times the last few months. Never talked about that in 30 years on air. And God said, I tell you what's going to happen, and you think it sounds like you're bragging. You're not. I've given you this information, giving you this understanding. I gave you the mind to understand it. You've got to say what is in your heart and your mind when I tell you. And God would say, get up. You leave. You know, I leave my cell phone usually in the bathroom on the counter. I don't sleep with the damn thing that spies on you and everything else. It's bad for you. And God goes, it's 4 a.m. There's even a video out there called, you know, God told me it was 4 a.m. That's what John Bowne called it. Just a few months ago. And that's just one of the times it happened. And I get up, and I walk in, I pick the phone up, and this is like 30 seconds after I got out of the bed, and it's just 4 a.m. And God goes, now you think that's just a coincidence. There's 15 seconds left, countdown. 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 6, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2,
oh, my
one.
God. No.
One.
No.
401.
No. Oh, everyone go home.
I literally went and got on my knees for about an hour, and I just said, will you just take me over then?
No.
Will you just take full control? I know you're all about free will, and you don't possess people like the devil, but I'm tired. And will you just tell me what to say and take full control? And God said, I am in control. You've got to listen. So from now on, I'm just going to tell you whatever the Holy Spirit's telling me, and I'm not going to hold it back. Because I've always had this power that God gave me in my life.
Uh-oh.
I've always can see around corners.
Oh, no.
It's God. And so when I tell you this stuff, it's literally God telling me this. You understand?
Yeah, sure. I understand. I hear you loud and clear, buddy.
We can get to it's God who's around the corner every time, which is like, what are you doing, buddy? Just... walk next to me. Hmm. Why are you hiding in front of that next corner?
He's got to tell you what's around there.
But here's where I want to start, because I feel like before we got any further, I was already ready to put this man in an insane asylum, because we all just watched it go by as he's like, oh yeah, no, I leave my phone in the bathroom because I don't want it spying on me while I sleep.
Right. I don't want the government to know the secrets that I keep when I'm talking in my sleep.
Do you understand? There's only one explanation for that, is that he thinks that the phone will record the secrets he says out loud in his sleep.
Which might be fair. Given him.
And we've all just moved on. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that wasn't even that weird, because later on he claims to be speaking to God all the time.
And that God speaks through him now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, we moved quickly past God gave me superior brain smarts.
Yep.
I can't count down from 15.
Gave you the brain to know this. God, Alex, this is God here. What up, bro? I just want to say I am blessing you with the brain to count down from 15. Go ahead and demonstrate that now, whenever you want.
Yeah, now that like obviously I don't want to beat up too hard. Sometimes in the moment you lose track of what you're saying.
Sure.
I get it.
Sure.
It doesn't. It's not indicative necessarily of like, you know.
Oh no, no, no. If you and I are having a regular conversation, no big deal. But if you had just claimed to be given a message from the Lord God.
Well, and also this implicates the ability to actually count down the time until 401.
Oh yeah,
or whatever.
That's right. You can't even trust it the thing that he's thinking. Yeah,
it implies to me that maybe you're not the clock watcher that I need to listen to.
Do you know what this reminds me of on a much lower level? Although it is on the internet for the world to see. Is that time L. Ron Hubbard was like had the lady at the Coliseum or whatever
the clear
theater. Yeah, it was like, ah, this lady's so clear, she can remember anything that ever anybody talks about. What color's your tie? Wrong. Oh shit. Yeah. Fuck. Ah, you guys tricked her with psychiatry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Oops.
Dumb.
So Alex talks a fair amount about how great the RNC was.
Yep.
Eric Trump was amazing. He should be president one day, even though Alex really fucking hates dynasties.
I can't believe anybody.
Was so mad about George W. Bush being president after his dad, George H.W. Bush, was president. Anyway.
Patrilineal succession is the only way to live.
He's so good.
Yeah.
He's so great.
Yep.
But who cares?
Who cares?
I ended up like giving up on covering this episode after they played a little video. Alex plays a video that is like, now we don't do a lot of fiction on this show.
Oh, God.
But Chase Geyser put together a video.
No, 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 no.
It's sci-fi. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I wanted to cover it kind of, but
yeah.
I can just explain it to you.
Okay.
And it'll do its service. So it's set in 2084.
Sure.
What he did is basically just use AI prompts to create animation of it's 2084.
Okay.
Alex's consciousness has been rebooted in the InfoWars studio.
All right.
And he's warning about how after the 2024 election, the globalists took over, and then they had people. There's like the whole world becomes a hellscape.
Oh my God.
And then there's people underground. Hold on.
Oh.
There's people underground.
Sure.
In the bases.
Unexploded nuclear bomb. Yeah.
Well, they're all underground. The government is keeping them down there.
Sure.
And then they start giving them DMT drips in order to talk to demons.
Fun.
And then they get possessed by the demons.
All right.
And only the most righteous of the people in these underground bases are able to resist the demons.
Okay.
And they are like Harrison Smith and Chase.
Well,
and
yeah.
Owen
I mean,
Schreier.
I would assume that they're also the stars of. There's no way that they're people who lost and other people won. These are obviously the heroes of their own story.
Well, no. Yeah. Get this.
Okay.
So they're all fighting against these demons, and they
right.
take to the surface to fight back against the demons.
Good for them.
It's very Dune-ish in terms of some of the imagery that you're seeing.
Recent memory.
You hear Alex say old-fashioned artillery.
God damn it. Of course he does. Of course he does. That is the most paradoxically oxymoronic collection of phrases that you could possibly have, and yet still he's like proud of it. God, I hate these people.
He feels so cool saying it that he doesn't realize, or maybe he does realize and doesn't care that the context of it is pretty atrocious.
I mean, and it's so stupid all across the board.
It's self-contradicting of the point he's trying to make in the context of, who cares?
Yeah.
So they're fighting this battle.
Sure.
And it's sort of implied that Alex gets killed. Because you hear, I think it's Harrison Smith say, Alex, no!
Okay.
And then you have, then they're like, reboot Alex back in 2024.
Okay.
And so.
Okay, whoa, so they send Alex's consciousness back in time?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I love this. I love this. This is great.
Yeah.
It's
pretty impressive.
This reminds me of a movie called Suburban Commando.
Kind of. There's similarities. But anyway, it's a stupid science fiction weird thing that's intermixed with like a lot of stuff that Alex actually does believe.
Sure.
You know, like it's, you know, granted, maybe it's not the after the 2024 election. That's when everyone goes down to the bases.
Right.
But it's like this isn't all fantasy. You believe a lot of this.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, now for me, I believe that this is very similar to that news radio episode where they all die in the end because Joe Rogan's an idiot.
There's multiple where they...
No, the one where they go to space, though. Not the Titanic episode, the they go to space episode, where Joe Rogan kills everybody. And I mean, maybe that's actually better than any Simpsons episode ever. Joe Rogan kills us all. Yeah.
So anyway, Chase made that.
Yeah.
And good for him.
Good for him.
What an AI prompting. What a waste of energy.
I love the bar to entry being low and the cost to climate change being high. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite type of art.
So I was thinking about that, too, and I wanted to point out, we've made a lot of hay out of Alex's relationship with Chase.
Sure.
And how it's Coach McGurk and Brendan from Home Movies.
Yes.
And I agree that it is.
Yeah.
But I had a memory, and I realized this is not really the first time we've seen this dynamic.
Okay.
Do you remember that 30-year-old who sued his parents because they kicked him out of his house?
Yes, I do.
That was Alex trying to do the Coach
McGurk
energy.
You're right. I see that.
Remember
exact
that?
Same thing. Yeah.
He was like,
what do you need to do? Here's how you become a man.
The most important thing is that you reproduce.
Yep, 100%. He was doing the Coach McGurk, and we didn't notice.
Well, we did.
Well, yeah.
But it didn't fit because that 30-year-old dude who got kicked out of his parents' house
was
resistant.
Yeah, he wasn't he was a good scene partner.
He wasn't Brendan.
Yeah.
This is the difference.
Yeah, whereas Chase has got a theater background. Chase is a theater kid, yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, good.
Anyway, we're going to jump now to the 21st.
Wait, no. And he didn't... No. And he made a home movie.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that he made a home movie.
An AI home movie.
He made a movie.
Starring his friends.
Starring his friends. I don't understand how to live life anymore.
Yes.
In this world.
Maybe our next episode will just
Did it end with, and it's time to pay the price?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God.
There wasn't a musical number.
Okay, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
All right. Jesus Christ.
Maybe our next episode will just be a frame-by-frame breakdown of Chase's movie.
I mean, maybe it'll just be me screaming uncontrollably and being like, oh, everybody's been watching me. This is all Truman Show. I regret every time I've ever masturbated. Like, that's what I believe right now.
What you need to do is put your phone in the kitchen or bathroom when you go to bed.
What is happening?
Yeah. So we jump in here on Sunday.
Yes.
Alex, we're hot off the news.
Right. Could I ask, because again, you told me that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any circumstance that it happened with? Was it like just a letter or did he like give an address speech thing? Or
he released a letter.
He released, okay. So it wasn't like I missed a whole, he stood up in front of a podium and then collapsed into a pile of bones like in The Last Crusade.
I'm not going to say it's, well, that didn't happen.
That didn't happen, okay.
I don't know if there was a press conference or not because I have, you know.
Right, because you were literally working on the,
I haven't monitored everything.
Sure, gotcha. Sorry, apologies for interrupting.
I think it was just a letter, though.
Gotcha,
So Alex has been talking to a lot of sources about various things.
Sure.
I have spent, to my wife's chagrin, I would say 15 hours, not just counting the three-hour show yesterday. I'm not bragging, I'm just saying I'm in the game here. 15 hours. Locked in my office last night, yesterday afternoon, and today. I've spent 8 hours today at least. And I have talked to a lot of people. I've talked to the folks in Trump's immediate command system right at the top. And I have talked to the individuals that are deploying to defend Trump. And they don't even need to be a secret. We're not going to give specifics of it. But he is bringing in the Orange Group out of the Pentagon, the Delta Force. But because he can't get the current ones, he's getting even better. He's getting the super seasoned ones. And I'm not saying Delta Force is bad, but these are the guys. And the best Navy SEALs. And Eric Prince is involved.
Oh, cool. That's really cool. He's bringing in Chuck Norris.
I feel like this episode is going to be here's what I'm going to throw out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if I wrote down a series of sci-fi movies and conspiracy movies right now, I would be able to like play a game of bingo for the next hour and like cross off. Oh, this is where he's referencing Soldier starring Kurt Russell. Boom. Knocked it off there. This is where he's referencing.
We've already got Suburban Commando.
Enemy of the State. Command Center for Trump. In the suburbs, Hulk Hogan is a suburban commando.
So we got Eric Prince coming in. I think Alex is a little. I feel it feels off base for him to be like, It's so cool that Trump's hiring mercenaries.
Shouldn't you be against this?
I guess not.
You know what the Lord said? Murder for money.
Hire.
No. It's different if you say a different word.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Murder for hire is fine. Murder for money is bad.
Yeah, that makes it sound bad.
Yeah, so I noticed immediately that, like, okay, we're talking more about the assassination stuff and Trump business than the fact that Biden dropped out of the race.
Feels pretty important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because, like, let's not be obtuse about this.
Sure.
Alex's prediction that I had you write down on that piece of paper was the 20th.
Yep.
Today is the 21st.
Ooh.
It's pretty close.
It was pretty close.
It's definitely within the ballpark of, like, I'll give it to him. He was right.
No. See, again, this is where you and I struggle. Mm-hmm. All right. A lot of people are against the black and white thinking. But I say this. If you have been given a gift by God, you cannot be off by a day.
Yeah.
You don't get to play horseshoes and hand grenades. That's not how it works.
I agree with you.
Okay.
But I'm going to go ahead and it's a weekend.
You're going to go. God, listen, God was in the Eastern time zone. You don't know.
It's not about business
days. He's on GMT. Right. That's the problem.
The post office is closed.
I get it. It's on me. Yeah. That's on me. You're right. I take it all back.
I have been correctly criticized for being a little bit lenient on Alex.
Sure.
And I think I do that in order to make sure that criticisms that I have are not coming from a place of blaming him for everything.
Yeah.
And so I'm closer to just go ahead and give him this
one.
His other predictions are so fucking wrong.
Right. You're grading on a curve, and that may be the source of all evil in this world.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So anyway, Alex talks a little bit about how Biden's stepping down.
Okay.
I told you that I thought Biden within 2 weeks would step down. I said this weekend, the weekend of the 20th, 21st, it happened today as I called. So I could just see all the numbers.
Got to throw that in there.
And it would take hours to explain how I know that, but there you go. It happened again. And I talked to high-level people in the Trump administration, the soon-to-be administration, and I talked to high-level people in every facet of the system.
The Orange Crew?
And then they gave me a list of people that could speak because they're not currently in the military. And these are amazing people. Some are coming on tonight. I'm not going to announce who they are until tomorrow. But on tomorrow's show, we're going to have people that have commanded major operations around the world. And for anybody that follows military news, you will know who they are. In fact, the general public will know who they are. So they're going to be on the show tomorrow. Lord willing, who knows what the globalists will do.
Please be Chuck Norris. Please be Stallone.
Who? I don't know. Who else could it be?
Name household names.
I mean, yeah.
Jesse Ventura.
Steven Seagal.
Seagal.
It's Seagal. It's Seagal. Yeah, it's Seagal. That's who it is.
He's gonna interview an actual seagull.
Oh, that'd be fun too. He's gonna interview Flight of the Conchords singing seagull.
I don't know. I don't know who I would predict it is. Maybe that Tonto guy. The guy from Benghazi.
Oh my God! I was like, I don't know if we reference that.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
But here's why I thought that the previous episode, the 19th, and this kind of, there's a mirroring to
them. Sure, sure.
It's because there's a close enough to write, although it doesn't mean anything, about Alex's prediction that Biden would step down on the 20th.
Yeah.
Or the weekend.
Yeah, sure. Let's call it over the weekend.
Whereas the stuff about, like, there's going to be a cyber attack and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There is no credit that is given for that prediction.
Okay, but I see what you're saying.
He's behaving as if, like, I have nailed all of these predictions.
Right.
And no. You didn't nail anything.
No.
But this is close, and I think it's somewhat dishonest to, like,
see, here's what I like.
Squabble about it.
Here's what I like even more, because this is one of those things that I like. This is my, like, little nitpicky thing, but I think it's important because I care about it. It's like Mount Everest, right? When the Mount Everest in the encyclopedia is up until blah, 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 whatever date in the past, not long ago, it was 25,002 feet or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was an exact 25,000 or 22,000 or 25,002 feet. All right. Now, the real story behind that is the guy who measured it to exactly 25,000.
Right.
And he was like, there is no fucking way anybody's going to believe me. It won't look exact enough.
Right.
So he added 2 feet, right? 25,002. That makes him look super smart, right? So he thinks by looking exact, he is exact. But it turns out that was the wrong height anyways. He was wrong about everything. That reminds me of Alex right now. By looking like it was the weekend and he called it, he's actually revealing that he's not even right about that. He's an idiot. He's an idiot all across the board.
Well, here's the issue, though.
Yeah.
I think he did say the weekend. I think he said, I think that he said a lot of things. I think that one
Fair?
Of the things that he may
okay.
have said.
Okay.
Because I know for sure that he said by the 20th.
Sure.
On at least a couple of occasions. I know that.
I mean.
Which, by that standard, he's
listen,
wrong.
Listen.
Right?
I'm not going to lie. A lot of God's prophecies in the past have been open to interpretation. They haven't been as like hard science as we might have preferred.
And many of Alex's predictions are self-contradictory.
Totally. So, that reminds me of very familiar.
That is a difficulty.
Yeah.
So Alex has mostly his eye on the ball, and that is the assassination attempt and how we can make this a false flag.
The assassination attempt on the day that today.
Yeah, today's episode, he's talking a lot
talking about the last week.
Well, I mean, it still just was a week ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was still a week ago. That's fair.
And the best knowledge is there was a shooter right under the shooter who was on the roof in the window. That's what the acoustics are showing, and a shooter on the water tower. We have the HD video of that coming up. It's clearly on a shadow. Now it's been blown up digitally, stepping out. In fact, I meant to send you guys that clip, have Rob do grab it. It's all over X, the water tower zoom in. Showing the shooter up there with his rifle.
So there's some very blurry video that people are insisting shows somebody on the water tower, but this has been debunked, and it's not. There's multiple shooters. This is what Alex has landed on, sort of.
That is interesting. I hadn't considered that, but now that Alex brought, because he brought up the sound, the echo, and all of that stuff, I hadn't really thought about it, but now, like, you could. Because everybody there had a phone, and everybody's phone's microphone is totally active, and we're all supposed to pretend that it's not. Mm. So you could theoretically have an almost perfect soundscape of the thing that happened
sure.
from a million different possible angles if you could gather everybody's phone data.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really interesting.
And there probably were a ton of people recording anyway. Probably. There were.
Yeah, no, tons of them. Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah, I think that they've done this game already with the Las Vegas shooting,
yeah.
trying to play games with the acoustics and,
sure.
and all that.
Sure.
And so this is just well-trod territory for conspiracy theorists. And I find it uncompelling.
Yeah, I agree.
Much like blurry-ass video that Alex is pretending is HD.
Love blurry-ass video.
So Alex's basic feeling is that the globalists, what they want is, now that Biden has stepped down, they want to undermine Kamala Harris and, I don't know, he doesn't have a specific prediction about who's going to step in as the candidate.
All right, so I ask this question, right? Mm. Where are we in globalist plans that included Biden stepping down?
We are so fucked. Like, the globalists are there.
Well, no, I mean, but, like, where are they in their plans? Is this, like, something that threw a wrench in their plans, or is this part of their plan?
Well, they were going to have to kill him if he didn't step down. So I think that the globalists wanted this to happen.
Okay, so the globalists knew this was going to happen, or they were going to kill him.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So now the globalists are stoked.
But they also wanted Trump to be dead last week. So they're not thrilled about that.
Okay, so this is our like, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Right.
One step forward, one step back. I get it. Okay, yeah. Okay.
This is Paula Abdul.
Just wanted to be sure where we were.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
But they might still kill Trump.
Trump has wisely brought in private security. The guys that are former Delta Force. And you're never former. And now
Chuck
Trump
Norris.
Is going to be hard to hit. And the experts said, we agree with your analysis. Next will be poison. You can't shake hands. They'll have a fake glove, looks like a normal skin. It'll have pure fentanyl or some other drug. Trump shakes their hand. He's dead in 10 minutes.
That's how it works.
Chemicals with acids, with cyanide will get through the skin, or fentanyl. It'll be weaponized. fast action pure cyanide or pure fentanyl with an acid to get through Trump's skin. It looked like a hand, but it's a plastic glove. Looks like a hand. He shakes somebody's hand. He's dead in 10 minutes. 5 minutes, probably. Maybe two. Truck bombs. Tactical nukes blamed on Iran. I told you last week they'll blame Iran. They already tried the next day. I'm on top of their pre-programming.
Ah, shit. No one can touch Trump ever again.
I like that he is ascribing this terrifying and horrible type of assassination to the enemies of Trump, the type that his only one known perpetrator?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. No, that's not someone's MO.
Okay.
It is a little ironic.
It's a little on the nose, I feel like, considering, is it over a year or under a year since Navalny was also murdered?
Oh.
You know that guy that we were all like, hey, he can do it, you know, then he was murdered. Because there is, okay.
Putin would never want that.
Right. But we're all very, he was murdered, but we're all very, oh.
So Alex is, I guess, no one can shake hands with Trump anymore.
I like that rule. I'm fine with that. I'm also fine with public officials hiring private murderers to protect them.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
From anybody who tries to touch them, because they probably have a fake fentanyl hand.
I think it's a good idea for our public officials to knowingly hire murderers for money.
Well, for hire.
Okay.
Yeah. So this turns into Alex interviewing a friend of his, named Quentin.
All right. Now I'm in.
I guess this guy was in the military in some capacity.
Sure.
I have no idea who he is, but he's a friend of Alex's who has experience with probably murder, I guess.
Oh, well, that'd be
I mean, who knows?
Oof, what a weird day.
He has some really dumb points.
Okay.
Absolutely. And we said today, we talked this day, and all the people I talked to agree, they wanted a spectacular event blowing his head off to try to inflame, and that was their next plan. But keep going.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. So when we look at it in the totality or the visual performance of this, an average person is going to go for that headshot. They want the
an average person
of that. They want the JFK version 2.0, whereas a true trained assassin wouldn't go for a headshot. A true trained assassin, someone wants to do it, they're looking for a death shot. They're looking for something that is has finality to it. And it's not hard to hit a human being at 130 or 150 yards. You and I used to shoot together all the time. I remember us shooting Coke cans at 7 and 750, untrained, sitting in the front of the seat of a Jeep. So it's really not a hard thing. You and I both have shot pistols that far on a regular basis. So that's not the case. I think that they wanted to show the world something ugly and something nasty and something evil. So they went for a headshot. And that's, you know, thankfully they did. And thankfully they suck.
These globalists are the worst. If that is like, they're so caught up in aesthetics that they absolutely cannot remember what the fucking mission that they're on is. This is so dumb.
I just appreciate these globalists, brilliant globalists. Again,
right.
Superpowered, ultimate evil, run by the devil.
Right.
Right. They're like, okay, we got to get this guy to murder the president, which is our goal. Let me be clear.
If Trump gets into office again, the devil's plans are unraveled.
Right. So what we need to do, our stated goal, so at the end of this action, what we would want to happen is the death of the former president.
Everything Alex has ever said makes me think that that is what the devil
that
wants.
Must be what the devil was trying to achieve.
Yep.
If we are criticizing said not thing occurring, right? Explain to me how these globalists would not be like, well, let's hire a trained assassin. They instead hired the average person who would just go for a headshot like an idiot.
Well, see, here that's the aesthetics thing.
Sorry?
What we are failing to take into account is we think that a fail state for the mission is Trump not dying.
See, but that but if the succeed state is Trump dying, then the fail state must be Trump not dying.
No, because...
what do you mean no?
It's mission critical.
God damn it.
That something really disgusting be on TV. something. You need to freak people out with that visual, or else you have failed the mission.
Okay, so
and that's
then,
why you hire an average person who wants to go for the headshot.
Right.
None of this makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like now I'm actually genuinely angry at people that I'm suddenly remembering are 100% fictional in the creation of this idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does not make any sense for these villains to operate this way. I think that if this was truly, like, if I was somebody who showed up, like a bar rescue situation with these globalists.
Yep.
I would be furious. I'd be like, get your head in the game.
I think that's part of my, like, of Chase's energy is Chase is like, guys, we can write this better.
I think so.
We can, let's do some punch up before we say it on the TV, you know?
Yeah. No one expects better, so this is what you get.
This is what you get.
So this guy, I think that if his point is to be made coherently, it's an argument against this being an inside job, really.
Right. Yeah.
But he's arguing that it was an inside job.
So it's a bad inside job.
Right, but intentionally bad because they wanted a headshot in
they
order for the visuals.
They're too smart for me, man.
Right. Yeah. And then the ultimate plan.
Yeah.
Mail-in voting.
They think we're all stupid. And they think that what they've done in the past, they're going to do again, and they're just going to keep pulling this
and
over
And they thought
us.
The hysteria of Trump being dead would, and the truck bombs that are going to detonate on a black church or whatever would have changed the subject, but they fucked up.
Obviously.
Totally. And then when we start talking about this kid and how did they instantly say he's operating alone? Well, how do you know he's operating alone if you are not in his cell phone, if you was never on the radar?
And now he's got offshore secret accounts. And that's what I got from my sources. They said, no, this guy was heavily funded, flew a drone over, was an operative. Now we know he had high-tech military explosives. That's about to come out. Quentin, what do you think's happening?
And the other thing is, and I think it's a huge cover-up, and I think that it was going to create a environment that made people scared to vote. It was going to do something that basically created a mail-in ballot.
Yeah, you got to the bottom of it.
I mean, from where I'm standing,
mm-hmm.
right, the only lesson I have taken from the last few weeks is don't stand near a president.
Generally, that's something you probably already would.
Yeah, I mean,
you would never go near a president anyway.
Yeah, so. Everybody that's gotten close is having a bad time.
Mm-hmm. Well, what if the lesson is actually these people are secretly trying to shoot Trumps in order to push a mail-in ballot?
Well, then I'm going to stay away from them.
I don't know. This guy seems like he's, you know, I don't know about this.
Man, you know, sometimes when they're talking shit, they're in a groove. They're in, like, the zone that they're used to, where it's like, this is the same type of shit we've been talking since the 90s. I can rattle this off in the back of my brain. This 2 weeks has scrambled them.
Mm-hmm.
This bullshit doesn't fly even in their own brains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that they're also using muscle memory a little bit in
right.
ways that are kind of dumb.
Yeah.
You know, like, when the media reports that there's no indication that he had accomplices, that doesn't mean that they're definitely saying that he worked alone.
No.
It's just that there's no evidence that's available. And when you engage with breaking news this way, you're trying to build a case, and that's all they're doing. But the case doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's an inside job, but it's also convoluted. The shooter is average, but also everyone's in on it.
Oh,
there's multiple shooters, but then also they missed. There's I don't know. It's too much.
Okay, let me pitch you on this. I would like to remove my consciousness, freeze it for 60 years. All right, wake up in 2084.
Okay.
Let it roll from there.
We've got to send Jordan's consciousness
back.
Then
we'll see what happens, okay? Huh. But I think that'll be the best move for all of us moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there were bombs. Sure. Apparently, and
I'm sorry.
There were explosives that the shooter had.
Okay.
And apparently, Quentin knows what this was all about.
Okay.
He was going to assassinate Donald Trump. And then when people try to respond, whether that's first responders, the fire trucks, the paramedics, the other police officers, all that, they're going to have to drive past that vehicle to come in. He was either going to then detonate that vehicle to create enough of a diversion for him to get away, or he was going to do it to where no one could get in to help. And that creates an environment where a shooter can then continue to cause chaos. My question for everyone, though, is what does a 20-year-old kid who's a nurse technician or something like that, whatever they made up he does for a living, how does he know how to create an IED? How does he know what explosives are what and how they work unless he's been on the internet somewhere? So what's the internet at home? What's the internet on his phone? What's his search history? Who's teaching him these things?
Oh, man, hopefully not a malicious site or something. I'd hate for that to come out.
I mean,
that would be inconvenient for your line of questioning.
Yeah.
But also, this argument seems counter to the idea that it was a globalist false flag.
Yeah.
What this guy is saying.
Yeah.
If the whole plan was a lot of, this just elaborate detail where they had bombs to attack first responders and then continue the chaos, why didn't they detonate them even though the guy missed? If the objective is to kill Trump, then why not use these bombs that are there to kill him instead of the sniper who missed? You would think that the last thing a shadowy evil organization would do is completely fuck up an attempted assassination on the former president, then bail on part two of their plan when part two could easily clean up the mess they created by screwing up part one. This just makes no sense. If this is the conspiracy, it's such a bigger fuck up.
Yeah.
By the villains.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, one thing that I hadn't considered, right, is that part of the reason that conspiracy theories worked with JFK for so long, maybe, is like conspiracy theories, when they lose, you're like, well, I guess those people who did the conspiracy, they're not that scary. They're a bunch of losers, honestly. Mm-hmm. They're a bunch of losers who suck. So I guess I'm not really that scared of them. Try again, Wile E. Coyote. Right. Best of luck next time.
Yeah.
You forgot to press the Acme button? That's your theory?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry. Apologies.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. You didn't... did you, when you press the button, it actually exploded in your face?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
If the big evil organization is this fucking bumbling,
yeah.
I'm not scared.
Yeah, because here's my problem. I feel like Quentin is looking down on the globalists for being shitty at assassinating people. I feel like Quentin here is like condescending, being like, hey, listen, if I was out there trying to assassinate a president, that president would stay assassinated. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like, I don't like Quentin's tone.
No, he has a bad tone.
He's got a bad tone.
But here's my feeling about the globalists.
Sure.
They're coming off Magoo-ish.
Very Magoo-ish.
In terms of this assassination attempt.
Yeah.
And Mr. Magoo isn't precise in other areas. You know what I mean? Like, Mr. Magoo is fucking up all over the place.
No, see, but that's the thing. They're doing the opposite of a Magoo. They're putting together extremely intricate plans. Their eyesight is perfection itself. But every time they try and move forward, everything falls apart. Whereas Magoo closes his eyes and steps through and stuff. If Magoo was going to assassinate the president, Magoo would start by walking across the earth, and then the president would be dead.
They spent 5 years like setting up an elaborate Rube Goldberg machine.
The whole thing.
And it just fucks up on the first move.
The cat forgot to hit the domino.
Right.
Damn it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not scared.
Yeah.
Not scared of that Rube Goldberg machine.
Unfortunately, it's a struggle. Yeah.
But I am scared of Quentin.
Okay. That's not good.
There's repercussions for everyone's action. And hopefully we can push through this by using ballots and doing it the right way. If you remember, I guess probably 5 or 6 years ago, we were talking about reelecting Donald Trump long before there was any of this. And I told you, hey, Alex, we need to do this shirt, man, by bullets or ballots. It doesn't matter. And you were very smart in your saying to me. You said, hey, man, like, that's a great saying, but I don't need to be the person pushing violence. And it made a ton of sense, you know, and coming from you and the amount of voice and vocal like range that you have, it made a ton of sense to me, and it still resonates today. So by no means are any of us calling for violence, but I also think that there will come a time that people feel there is nothing else they can do. If they continue to do this, if they continue to push, if they continue to steal, if they continue to lock people down and you know, basically just destroy their lives against their will, there will come a time where people push back.
Okay, so the 2020 election wasn't stolen, but we have told everyone that it was, and we insist that that is reality, and that really makes them feel pissed off.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, there wasn't really a COVID lockdown or like martial law the way that we described, but we're going to keep insisting that there was, because that really pisses people off.
Yep.
And eventually, if reality keeps being presented the way that we make money off of and we push, that really pisses people off, eventually they're going to start shooting people.
Yeah. You know what? Here's where I think we're at. I think we reached something. You know, we've been describing this as terrorist edging for a long time.
Mm.
Right. I think they blew their wad. I think that's what happened, because here's the deal. They already tried to overthrow the country and they failed.
Yeah.
Somebody just tried to assassinate their god king and missed, and they didn't do shit. I think they're a bunch of bluffing losers, and everybody should call... This guy is a loser. I challenge Quentin Coldwater the Third of the Magicians to... the revolution is coming. Fuck off. Get a coward.
Well, I think that if you look at the larger picture of masses...
Sure.
Then you might be onto something, that they might have missed the point when the fever could have...
The fever may have broke in
terms of, like, large groups.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's true, but I'll go along with you saying that's possible.
Sure.
But the potential for, like, smaller-scale violence, I think, is still absolutely as bad as it could be. In terms of, like, a mass revolution, maybe the window has passed. Maybe that wad has busted.
Nah, I'm just going to call the bluff. I don't think they've got it in them. I think they're a bunch of losers, and I think everybody's afraid for no reason.
Well, I don't know. I don't... Maybe.
Yeah.
I know that one person is a bit of a loser, and that's Alex.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to write myself into this, but I've had to make peace with death over this, and I will not commit suicide. I will not kill my family in a murder-suicide. That's how they do it. Then say you were a killer. I would never do that. That's a lie. When I talk to you and I talk to people, the highest levels of the Pentagon, who are patriots, and to Delta Force people today, they said, you're right, Jones. They're going to get you next, because they see me as the populist guy. And I don't want to be that guy. I want to just beat these people. I'm not trying to run around here on the front line in a general outfit.
You just were talking about calling down the angel of death. What is happening?
He's the tip of the spear.
I know. This is so dumb.
He's been given a mission from God.
Chosen in his early years. Groomed for this for decades by the divine.
So at night, when God wakes him up and is like, hey, go get your phone. Also, you're super smart. It was listening. It wasn't last time, but this time, see, you're so smart this time.
Yeah.
All right. When he does that, he also says, like, obviously, I want you to go through with this stuff. But then Alex, whenever somebody else is talking to him, is like, listen, I don't want to do any of this.
This would be cool.
This is shit. I don't even really like this God guy, to be honest with you. Like, what's happening?
He seems like a man conflicted. Also, I love the, I don't want to make this assassination attempt about me.
No.
But here I go doing exactly that.
Ah.
That's real cool.
Yep.
And great.
Yeah.
So Alex has Ivan Reichlin in.
Who's that?
He was that guy who was trying to push a social media site a number of years back and then showed up drunk to Alex's speech.
Okay.
Along with Michael Flynn's son.
I'm listening.
You don't remember this guy?
No.
Okay, so he's shown up. He's adjacent to Michael Flynn.
Okay.
He's made some waves recently because he put out what some people have referred to as a kill list.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's always nice whenever you see one of those tossing about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he put out a list of globalists.
Sure.
That are going to be targets.
Who's you know what? Let's not repeat the list.
I saw it posted somewhere, and there's like different breakdowns of these are the people who are in our crosshairs because of COVID.
Everybody knows it's triage.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what you got to do.
He's making lists, though.
Hey,
that's something he's
check
he's
them twice,
all about.
My man.
So he's on along with another guy who I kept thinking was Doc Rivers, but that's the basketball guy.
Doc Rivers is a famous basketball coach and player.
Yeah,
one of the greats.
That's not him.
Nope, not him.
I kept thinking it was. It's a guy named Doc Chambers.
Doc Chambers is a very different guy.
Yeah. And so this guy has no evidence that the shooting in Pennsylvania was an inside job.
Okay, well, then we don't need to talk to him. He has no evidence, so I assume we're just going to cut it short.
No, but it definitely was one, though.
Oh.
But there's no evidence.
Gotcha.
All right, so what do we think about the inside job that happened against President Trump? Yeah, we know that what that was. That was an epic fail, but it was so epic that it was obvious that it was planned, and it was planned from the inside. Now, I don't have the receipts for any of that, but right now, anybody that can see that, that has eyes to see.
All right, I've got no evidence, but it's obvious.
Okay, this is where... Here's my fundamental problem with their conception of the globalists as an organization, all right? you don't need to prove to me. Well, okay, how about this? When there's a botch job, you don't need to prove to me that it's an inside job. You don't need to prove the details. You don't need to prove the like purchase receipts. You don't need to do that.
Lost in the weeds.
What you need to do is show me that five guys suddenly died yesterday or the day after. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, whatever.
You have there. You have got. You have built up the most evil organization that exists on account of run by the devil.
Yeah.
And your consequences in that organization must be for failing to assassinate the president.
Yeah.
Must be death.
Well, here's the issue. Like, I think this is what you're getting at.
Yeah.
With the globalists.
Yeah.
It's like time travel. I'm probably not going to believe that time travel exists in your movie or in your thing.
Sure.
So when you spend way too much time trying to explain and justify why, you're getting lost in the details that aren't important.
You already fucked up. Yeah.
Just point to a thing.
It's the DeLorean.
Yeah.
Game over.
Perfect.
Travels through time. Let's roll.
It's just enough
story.
Detail.
Yep.
Five people are dead because they were the ones who were had all the details of the...
Doc Brown,
all you need to do.
Doc Brown, nuclears, roll.
Yeah, when you start trying to be too precise about it, it's like, this isn't what your conspiracy is about.
Yeah. Don't midichlorians made dickwads.
Stop trying this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, Chambers is...
I mean, you know, it's like the Celtics were great, and then he couldn't do it with the Clippers. Even though, you know, and he gave it his best. He gave it his best. He's a good basketball player. He's a great coach. One of the greats.
So Chambers is not very interesting, and I don't care about him because Ivan Reichlin is a complete weirdo.
Okay,
he has one plan that is that Patriots need to sign up to volunteer for the DNC so they can keep eyes on the ground. And infiltrate and look out for any
you know
funny
what,
business.
I go for it.
It's an interesting plan.
Okay.
But I lost interest in it pretty quickly because of the next thing that said.
Sure.
I recommend all Patriots volunteer to participate in the DNC convention so that they can observe and monitor and report, whether it's as media or as volunteers, any shenanigans that take place so that they are on notice.
No, you're right. That's got to scare him. So Doc Chambers and Ivan Reichlin are about to go to break, come back with you guys for another 20 minutes right out of Roger Stone. What are you going to cover when we come up? What is on your radar? I've been asking questions, but you're a smart guy. Colonel, what do you recommend?
Right. So in the next several days and next few weeks, there will be a period of grace that will exist for people that hold this information that are whistleblowers. We're going to give a period of grace, and then we're going to start exposing names of people that understood what was going on but did nothing about it. We have to do it that way. That's the only way, because we're in a race, we're in a marathon, and we just found out about it at the 26-mile mark at this point. So we've got to move.
You've been running for that long?
We've got to move the goalpost, and that's it.
So you're saying there's an amnesty right now?
Yes, sir.
Join us.
Talk about those details on the... We'll hit it on the next section.
Okay, so now this is very exciting. There's an amnesty that's being offered to globalists who know things and want to go join Ivan Reichlin and Doc Chambers and the Patriots.
I'm not going to take your kill list seriously if you also say shenanigans and to the rest of him.
You're offering amnesty.
What a fucking nerd. Sometimes, you know, I feel like I've become a better person, and then sometimes somebody pushes me and I'm like, this man needs a swirly. In like real life, somebody needs to swirly this man.
Well, Reichlin's ahead of you because he's bald.
There we go. He's already told me what to do.
So I was thinking about this, though. Yeah. Like, this is very exciting.
Yeah.
There's a period of amnesty that's being offered.
That is
very
kind of
I'm not clear on what authority this comes from.
I was wondering.
Amnesty from what or whose agreement this is or whatever.
Is it legally binding? Is there writing?
Trying to bait people to write him emails that sound like good shit talk.
Does feel like that.
So Ivan talks a little bit more about what this is.
That's
when they
nice.
Come back from break.
Yeah, it's good.
I just published a Substack article detailing out if you are in the government, former or current, that has observed directly how the principals acted over the course of the last several years. I'm saying the principals on that deep state target list, and you have evidence to support it's not a hypothesis, the knowledge that they conducted treason, then we're giving you a grace period until September 3rd to come out as a whistleblower. And in that article, it details exactly who you need to reach out to. If you're from within the Department of Justice, FBI, et cetera, you reach out to Jim Jordan. You then CC me as well if you want to indicate your good faith efforts so that we don't scrutinize you maximally. If you're from the FISA court process, the NSA, the FISA court staff, similarly, if you're involved in illegal or observed illegal FISA warrants and processes, you need to also come out to the Judiciary Committee. If you're from
the this isn't talk. You're giving people amnesty. This is going down. This is not a joke.
Correct.
Yeah, this is pretty real. So I'm sad to report to you, Jordan.
Yeah.
That Ivan's super important post about what real whistleblowers need to do in order to get amnesty is for paid subscribers only for his Substack. that group does not include me. So I'm not going to be able to tell you what that entire entry says.
So if I understand correctly, if I work for the FISA court, one of the most blatantly illegal and horrifying organizations that ever to exist, I am going to be like, time for me to come clean. It's time for me to finally tell my side of the story.
Where do you go?
I'll go to this Substack. Ah, fuck. I can't. I'm broke, man.
You got
to
sign up.
Nope. Not going
to
do
it. If you want to.
Netflix raise their prices.
Someone's not getting amnesty.
Then I guess I'm not. Yeah. I guess I'll go back to work. Warrantlessly wiretapping people.
So I'm not gonna pay for a subscription to Ivan's.
Yeah,
Substack.
I'm not surprised.
But
yeah.
Here is the part of the article that is publicly available.
Okay.
Quote, September 3rd, 2024 is the last day the Secretary of Retribution will offer amnesty to those that come forth as whistleblowers.
No. Stop. One, I love your government because the first thing you thought of before you even thought of anything else was Secretary of Retribution.
Right.
I'm already out. You didn't think of, like, how do we reform Congress? You were like, well, first things first.
Yeah. Is this in the interior? Is this in the State Department?
We're not going to call it an executioner. We're not uncivilized.
Sure. I remember earlier, just maybe a couple of minutes ago, you said he was a big old dork.
Yeah. What a fucking space treaty ass.
Yeah.
We've got a 6 month because the spider beings are hungry? What?
Yeah.
What?
I'm the Secretary of Retribution.
Fuck off, the Secretary of Retribution. Even in your fantasies, you're a nerd loser. Like, that's the worst part of it. Even in your fantasies, you're not like fucking Conan the Barbarian. Like, here's what I like, to watch women wail and my enemies be driven before me. You're like, well, first I've got to sign in triplicate that I get to defeat my enemies.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
This is like imaginary friend level of
Jesus Christ.
Self-importance. So the last line before it cuts off for the paid subscribers only is, here is a guide for those seeking to be spared for their involvement as co-conspirat. It cuts off in the middle of conspirat, but I assume it's conspirators.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
So Ivan Reichlin's an absolute lunatic who has a close association with people near Trump, like General Flynn. So while it's really funny that he's going around calling himself the Secretary of Retribution and putting together these lists of deep state target he plans to bring down, he's theoretically a little bit closer to some of these people than, you know, a lot of the other idiots who come on Alex's show and say stupid shit.
You know, it's just like when you swim in certain waters, you shouldn't be too surprised by some of the fish.
Yeah. Reichlin is. I mean, look, he's somebody who's I think probably the biggest thing that we know him from is when he showed up drunk with Michael Flynn's son. So this is not like totally a surprise.
You know, sometimes the season's guest stars are just a real up and down kind of race.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. We're at the 26th mile of a race we didn't know we were running.
Yep. So you got to be careful.
Yeah, obviously.
Because if you're going to whistleblow,
sure,
don't do it to the wrong people, like people Ivan Reichlin doesn't trust.
So perhaps if you are at the FISA court, a warrantless wiretapping court, a court famous for doing the thing where it wiretaps you without letting you know or any record of doing so, here's the safest way for you to whistleblow.
I'll probably on Substack. Or maybe just email someone who I think is cool. That's fine.
Like
You'll be all right.
Here's what's going to happen. If you're from the White House previous, then you go to Jim Comer. If you observed and were part of that COVID con, then you also reach out to Congressman Jim Comer. I recommend not reaching out to Brad Wenstrup, who chairs the COVID Select Committee. We cannot trust him based on his inaction over the last year and a half in Congress. Similarly, if you're part of observing the DOD illegal COVID mandate, you don't go to the House Armed Services Committee Chairman, Mike Rogers, because he has indicated that he is in on it based on his inactions. You go over to somebody like a Matt Gaetz or a Congressman, Jim Banks, who chairs the subcommittee on House Armed Services known as Personnel and Readiness. You CC me at info@rakeland.com. And then you make a public post on X or some, I would say on X, and say, I have provided whistleblower evidence and then you tag the member of Congress and the appropriate committee. And if you don't do that, folks, we're going to treat you the same way we are the principals that were involved in the 39 that illegally unmasked General Flynn, the 51 that spies who lied, and your staffs, right? The whistleblower campaign with the impeachment hoax one, impeachment hoax two, the COVID con, all of it.
This sounds legit.
I have no disagreements for me.
This guy sounds serious.
Absolutely.
Sounds like, you know, if I were a whistleblower within the government, first of all, I'd be terrified.
Yeah.
And then second, I'd be like, well, I better post on X.
Here's what I'll say, all right? I will not live in his dictatorship, all right? Not because it's a dictatorship where that'll happen, right? But because if your dictatorship still has subcommittees, fuck you.
Mm.
That's the whole reason you do a dictatorship is so whenever somebody's like, oh, this needs to go to a subcommittee, you go, I have a sword.
No, no. We need a secretary of retribution who's probably got a bunch of undersecretaries and a lot of bureaucracy.
Honestly, I swear to you, if I'm dictating a country and somebody's like, no, you have to go to a subcommittee, I'm like, fine, I quit. I quit dictating. You guys win.
What do you think the various departments within?
Oh my God! I quit. I'm out. You win. You're the king now. You're king.
You would think that there's probably like a sub office of justified retribution.
Oh, no.
And then probably over here there's the like just instinctual reaction. We fucked up.
Sure.
Some retribution that probably wasn't deserved.
So retribution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gray area retribution.
Yeah. Debatable.
And then in a box that has zero in it and just a red X through it, times we were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I bet there were none.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, fuck these two weirdos.
Sure.
Alex has another guest.
Yep.
It is, of course, Roger Stone.
Yeah.
He's got to come in because he also was very insistent from years back that Biden was not going to be the nominee in 2024.
Yes.
He has said pretty clearly that he believes Michelle Obama is going to be the candidate, but he doesn't.
Love it.
He's not that specific on this episode.
Oh, come on.
Alex wants him to say who he thinks is going to be the candidate.
Yeah.
And he's very hedging of his bets.
That's terrible. That's terrible because there's one answer right now. Now is the time to give it. It might not be a good answer later. Right now, though, you can make hay.
Hillary.
Absolutely.
Right. Especially if you're these people.
Oh, yeah. Hillary all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Roger is sort of doing a victory lap a little bit, but also at the same time, he's being pretty careful about, like, you know, I don't want to make any speculations.
Oh,
I don't
God.
Know. But there's a perfect moment in the interview.
Oh, okay.
What are they going to do when everything's turning against them? I think another assassination attempt, they have nothing to lose.
Well, I fear that maybe they try to poison him or some kind of truck bomb. I'm a politico. I can tell you the political dynamics. I don't have the kind of intelligence or military connections or sources that you do. I have a few, but you definitely understand how they think. We both understand what they're capable since they've tried to destroy both of us. But here we are still fighting for the country. By the way, winning
because of God. Like, why don't you talk about God for a moment?
Absolutely.
Came out in the speech, three times in the speech, called on God. That was so important.
Alex, look, I'm coming off of doing 3 hours of live radio, 77 WABC.
Oh,
if it were
God.
Not for Brain Force Plus, this wouldn't be such a great interview. But we live in an incredible time. This is very evocative of 1968.
Why does he keep doing this? Why does he keep having Alex ask him about God or say a prayer, and then he goes to plugging? Why does this keep happening?
Is it like a baseball sign that we're missing? Like, is it tugging on his nose three times and then is like, hey, listen, when I tell you to talk about God, first things first, brain force.
If so, it's a terrible
signal. It's not a good system.
No.
You could probably just touch your nose multiple times.
Right. You want Alex to say something about God, say something really emotionally moving about God and bring it up and get everyone invested and then do the plug. Don't do that. This is too glaring.
You know what had just occurred to me? Would Roger Stone have been out by now? Do you know what I mean?
Prison?
Yeah. So if he hadn't been pardoned, didn't he get like 8 years? Would he have been out by now?
Well, at the time, I know that it was for sure that he was going to die of COVID if he was in a prison.
Well, that was definitely true.
So that's why
true.
He appealed for compassionate release.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember exactly what his sentence was. I would bet even if he hadn't been pardoned, he would be out by now.
You think he would be out by now? Just on like just general Roger Stoniness.
Roger Stone.
Yeah. I gotcha. Just general being a rat fucker got him out of prison somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. However,
yeah,
he might be looking at some civil troubles in his future.
Good.
We don't even know at this point. I'm not inclined to just believe what the Secret Service tells us. So I don't even know for a certainty that Thomas Matthew Crooks is the shooter.
All my sources, water tower shooter and a shooter under Crooks in the window.
Yeah, well, perhaps that is Maxwell Yerrick. I have sources inside the Pennsylvania law enforcement community who tell me that Yerrick is a suspect. He has previous crimes assaulting Trump supporters. He does seem, I don't have any facial recognition technology, but he does seem to more closely resemble the photo of the corpse that the media has.
Well, Roger, what we know is there's a shutdown on the info. Normally, this would have been out 5 days ago. Where are the press conferences?
Oh, man. Roger is just begging to get sued here, I think.
Do what everybody wants to do.
This is way too late for him to still be playing this game.
I don't know.
This
How old
is
Sunday. He's like 90, right? He's
well.
I mean, I figure. Here's what I say. All right, you make it to like 85 based on the time scale we've got. You can defame whoever the fuck you want.
Wow.
You're probably going to die before any consequences get anywhere near you.
It's
going to be annoying.
That is an interesting policy.
It's going to be annoying.
I think that you run into trouble with that when you want, like, I guess if you're like, okay, you're over 85, you can defame whoever you want.
Yeah.
But we're also not going to take you seriously as a political consultant.
That's true.
You kind of have to have both of those together. You can't have freedom from defamation and also like...
You can't just hire an 85-year-old if you want to defame somebody and be like, hey, you do it. And then when they sue you...
Seems to be what Alex is doing a little bit.
It does seem to be a little bit what Alex is doing.
So there's a lot of explanations that could... let you know why Roger's still on this tip.
Sure.
On Sunday.
Brain force?
No.
Oh.
Something else.
No, yeah, here it is. U.S. Secret Service confirms they rejected requests to strengthen Trump's security.
It's a great piece in today's New York Post as well.
So in closing, it's ours to lose. They're going to try to kill the Trump.
God, that's good vodka. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, it sounds delicious. What type is it?
It was a joke.
I can see. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, right. We haven't had martinis in like a long. I haven't seen you in like a year in person. We need to have some martinis.
I'm ready. Look, I think today is we're in uncharted territory here. So again, I'm saying Trump, I think, is he's the convention was the smoothest I've ever seen. Alex, I've been to every convention since
19. Listen, I've been watching him since I was 5 years old. This was like a rock concert wrapped in an opera. This was amazing.
It was amazing. I don't think it was a rock concert mixed in an opera. But, like, so here's what happens if you want the visual of this. Roger has, like, a big household glass.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he's drinking water.
Yeah.
But if it's vodka, he has a problem.
Yeah.
But I don't think it is. I think he is making a joke, and Alex... doesn't take it as a joke because it's very believable for him.
I mean, I here's the thing. I live in a world now where I was immediately like, yeah, these two could be drinking a giant tall boy of vodka at 9 in the morning or whatever it is, or 4 in the afternoon.
Sure.
Great.
I mean, you don't want to forget that Roger was the guest that was there when Alex was screaming about Adam Schiff before he did his famous late night How Many Ways There Are to Learn.
How Many Ways, yep.
That drunken breakdown. Good so Roger's stuff. Seen some stuff.
Roger's been there for a good drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of martinis.
Yeah.
So anyway, the two of them wrap up, and it's not very eventful. Quite a lackluster response to Biden dropping out. Alex conceivably having one of the best opportunities to gloat that he's had in a very long time.
Sure.
Does not make the most of it.
Well, I mean, so here's the thing, right? This is almost too crazy for them. It's too crazy for them. They're used to making boring news sound exciting.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea what to do with exciting news because they're not actual news people. Like in real life, so news people tell you the boring news and they're like, this is fun that it's my job. Hooray, hooray, hooray. But then actual news happens and they're going like, finally, a purpose in life. I don't want to die. You know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Alex is the opposite. He can't do regular news. It's too boring.
Right.
So he makes everything up. But then real news happens and he's like, I guess I'll just shit the bed then.
I guess I have to make stuff up on top of this.
But it's harder whenever it's so crazy because then it has to be aliens, essentially.
Which we'll get to.
God damn it.
I'm sure. Well, actually.
Oh, not on this episode.
No.
Okay.
But I'm sure. We already know that Alex believes it's fucking aliens.
No, you're right. Yeah, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. It is interdimensional alien space beings.
On our last episode, he fucking threatened to call down the Angel of Death. That's a serious
that's right.
threat.
Well, he's getting ready.
Well, he doesn't have to now because Biden stepped down.
I'm going to listen.
Counterpoint. Big plot hole.
Yeah.
If the globalists were willing to kill Biden to get him out of the race, wouldn't Alex be doing their bidding by calling down the Angel of Death?
I genuinely don't know anymore.
Neither do I.
I have no way of keeping track of where I am in regular life, let alone in conspiracy life.
No.
Yeah.
It's too late.
It's too late.
It's too late in the evening.
We got to let it go.
Yeah.
We just got to let it fly.
So, anyway, we come to the end of this, and I found myself, as always, underwhelmed by Alex's response. And we just have to make peace with that.
Just is what it is.
But we'll see what happens when household name military people show up.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
See what happens.
Always nice.
But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robot.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.